presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. We had an interesting conversation with Outfitters West, Jim and Babing Lock. They called us yesterday and told us a little bit of some plans they have. They don't know when, but they do want to build something. I guess there is a property that they have, Babing has, near a beach in the Philippines. So they're going to be building something, and they invited us to see the place. So I told them, hurry up and get it built so we can come out there. I said, I'm already saving for the tickets. Today, it's going to be an intro today because I think next week we probably... We probably will have a speaker to share from her heart. But this is what we're going to do today. We're going to look at Joshua. We are planning on doing a... What's that? We're planning on doing a series. But again, our series have a propensity of being interrupted from time to time. But that's okay because you guys have memories. God gave you a memory. So today I want to just start with an introduction about Joshua. You know, everybody needs a new beginning from time to time. For instance, after we fail, or when a new year begins, or when we move into a new season of our lives, we always want to start fresh. And really, that's what the book of Joshua is about. The death of Moses left everyone reeling. What will happen now? Do you ever get to that point in your life where, now what? Now what, Lord? So I'm sure they were thinking, who will lead us? Who will take us into the promised land? Those were some big shoes to fill, I might say. I know Bob Lanier used to play for the Milwaukee Bucks, and he had a size 23 shoe. I can't imagine that would look like skis for water skiing. But anyway, so he has some big shoes to fill. But God wasted no time. After their time of grieving the loss of Moses, Yahweh spoke essentially saying, Joshua, you're the one who will take them in. So rise up, be strong, and be fearless. I will be with you. These are the words every spiritual leader wants to hear from God. I will be with you. Israel was at the threshold of moving into the promised land that they had received the promise centuries before. Now it was time for Joshua to lead these under 40 adults into their inheritance. Now think about it. This was a young crowd because he waited till the older generation, Ziz, passed away. So now it was time for Joshua, again, to lead these young people. The book of Joshua is filled with adventure and miracles as God wins life's battles. As long as God was with the Israelites, and they obeyed the voice of the Lord, they would conquer. Joshua is a book that gives us courage to move forward and the wisdom to keep leaning on God. That's important. There will be struggles of faith that will challenge the best of us. I like this formula. God plus nothing is enough. So work that into your calculator, Janet. I have to pick on you now. Jim's gone. We find in the book of Joshua the ways of God, how he moves us forward, how we triumph over our enemies, and how we do the impossible. It's a book of action. The people go forward toward a flooding river, and it parts before their eyes. The people march around a city 13 times, and the walls come tumbling down. The sun stands still. The enemies of God are conquered. Cities bow before the power of Yahweh, and the hearts of God's people will get filled with greater faith. If you feel like your days are being filled with boredom, try reading the first few chapters of Joshua, and it'll bring you into the battle of good versus evil. This book will fill you with courage to walk through the turbulent days that we live in. I have an asterisk there. We all know that this year could be quite volatile. Just because it has a national election is one reason, but because we know the atmosphere has been ripened the last number of years for chaos. But have courage. Too many believers act more like prisoners of war instead of passionate conquerors. We need to see ourselves as soldiers prepared to fight spiritual battles. Now, I'm glad it's not always a battle, because I would get tired. I think most of you would too. It's quite a battle. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 5 says, "Overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the Anointed One. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. An athlete who doesn't play by the rules will never receive the trophy. So remain faithful to God." So you can't say, well, it's my ball, you're going to play by my rules or I'm going to walk away. That doesn't work. The book of Joshua is a book of conquest, meant to encourage us to move from passivity to passion. Our battles are spiritual battles, for we fight not against flesh and blood, but against forces of darkness, Ephesians 6:12. The history recorded in the book of Joshua is a treasure of lessons for us as followers of Jesus. As you read through it, and I encourage you to do that this month, you will witness Israel experiencing firsthand the power and patience of God. We can learn from them as they chose to follow him into their rest. So I want to go through first, actually, five verses of Joshua. "And after Moses, Yahweh's servant, died, Yahweh spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' faithful assistant, and said, 'My servant Moses is dead. Now get up, prepare to cross the Jordan River, you and all the people. Lead them into the land that I am giving to the Israelites. Every part of the land where you march, I will give you as I promised.'" "Your borders will extend from the southern desert Arabia to the northern mountains of Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates in the east to the Mediterranean in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Joshua, no one will be able to defeat you for the rest of your life. I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will never fail nor abandon you." Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a map of the promised land promised to the Israelites, but it is by far greater than the little land of Israel. So when we hear people saying that isn't their land, you're right. There's about 90% more to add to that, or 100 and some percent more to add to that. It's much larger than when what they've settled with. Deuteronomy 31:23 says, "The Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun, Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you. So Joshua is the new leader. I'm sure there were people that thought, can he really lead? Could he overcome other people's perceptions of him? These are things we all have to deal with as well. His congregation and leaders were young and inexperienced. He battled self-doubt because how many times did the Lord say, be strong and courageous? If he was strong and courageous, I think the Lord would have only said it once, but he reminded him numerous times, as we all need to be reminded to be courageous. We'll find ourselves in similar situations where the odds seem to be against us. But God says, you can do this. And as it was with Joshua, we too are promised victory in seemingly difficult tasks. God's promises, they set the basis for our victorious beliefs. Let me say that again. God's promises set the basis for our victorious beliefs. Steve Backlund says, what we believe about a problem is more important than the problem itself. Because if you have a problem and you think you can't get through that problem, you're not going to get through that problem. But if you think you can get through it, by the grace of God, I believe you'll get through it. But you have to believe first. Deuteronomy 34:9 says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the wisdom, a spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Now he's ready to lead because he is filled with the spirit of wisdom. So now what? Joshua had an incredible relationship with Moses, and now he's to lead the Israelites with God's direction. He had to go forward alone, at the head of this nomad nation as they secured their new homeland. Joshua's leadership skills didn't suddenly materialize. You don't just wake up one day and go, huh, I'm a leader, I got all these leadership skills. It'd be nice if I could put that in a bottle and sell that. I'd be very rich. His experiences as a common Israelite and then companion to Moses forged Joshua's character and competence. He established his place in the hearts of his fellow Israelites as Israel's undisputed leader of the conquest through many years of challenges together and through his steadfast faith. He didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm the leader. Joshua made a name for himself among the covenant people of God, even as he was a common member of that nation. Like all Jacob's descendants of his generation, Joshua was born a slave. He was born under the oppressive rule of the Egyptian Pharaoh, who had no regard for God or for his covenant people. If you want to read about it, Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 through 22, describe the cruelty and hopelessness of this area for Israel. You know, it's very well displayed in the old movie, The Ten Commandments. It goes through all the plagues and the Red Sea, and it illustrates, at least for us, to see what may have happened. May have looked a little different, but I think that's for our imagination. So I just want to look at Exodus 1, 6 through 12 here. This is all to give a little background where before Joshua took over. Now Joseph and his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies and fight against us and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. You know, sometimes new seasons aren't good. Sometimes they start out pretty crappy. And that's what was going on here for the Israelites. They had had years of freedom as Joseph was second in command, but now the new Pharaoh took over and this new season was challenging to say the least. So Joshua was born about a generation after this oppression started. He was a forced laborer toiling to turn raw materials into buildings, temples, pyramids, and monuments. And as they portrayed in the movie, The Ten Commandments, they made it harder by giving them less and less straw to hold the clay bricks together. Make something out of nothing. This was not a very promising beginning for a man who would rise to lead the people of the one true God. Again, he started out as a slave. Like the rest of Israel, Joshua was delivered from slavery through the miraculous intervention of God. You can read about the 10 plagues that finally broke Pharaoh. God did this not through any merit of theirs, but because of the promises he made to their ancestors. It's in Deuteronomy 7, verse 8. Joshua, like all his countrymen, walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, Exodus chapter 14. Getting free from Egypt was the first step. Staying free was the next. When Pharaoh changed his mind and chased down the newly freed slaves with his army, the Hebrews were trapped against the Red Sea. Everyone expected a slaughter and re-enslavement. But God. God showed his power again. God defended them. All they had to do was stand firm and trust God. How many times has God said to you, just have faith, trust me, stand firm? How many times has he showed up for you? I can say every time. With the rest of his people, Joshua spent 40 years of his life wandering in the wilderness. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. They could have been conquering and settling. Instead, they were condemned to wandering close to the promised land. When you look on a map, you realize they were days away from where they were supposed to be, but he kept them moving. They were promised to their promised land, facing the elements and living in tents. Well, Anna just went through a little excursion over in a place called Africa, living in tents, and they had a rat uprising. I'm sure this was no different out in the desert for the Israelites. Why did God do that? Well, one reason is to humble them and test their hearts to see whether they would keep his commands. Now, we all know God knows everything. But he did it so they would prove to themselves where their hearts were, to humble them before the Lord. Somewhere along the line, Moses changed Joshua's name from Hosea, H-O-S-E-A, to Joshua. He changed his name from salvation to the Lord is salvation. More specific, pointing to the Savior. And we know Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So Joshua was a type of Jesus in the Old Testament, pointing towards our Savior. As an ordinary Hebrew, Joshua learned God's power to free, to rescue, and to provide. As an aide to Moses, he learned God's power to conquer, to counsel, and to reveal. And as we read in Deuteronomy 34:9, he was spirit-filled and ready to go. It's kind of like, what do they say, locked and loaded. He was locked and loaded, ready to go. Joshua was no Moses, but he didn't need to be. I think this is a good example for us not to make comparisons. Comparisons of ourselves, comparisons of ministries, comparisons. It's not fair because God has a different calling on each one of us, on each ministry. God wanted Joshua, not Moses, to lead the next chapter of Israel's history. So what is God saying to you today? Does he have another chapter for you? He has another bunch of chapters for all of us, I believe. So what is he saying to you today? Sometimes the chapter endings of life are obvious. The death of a loved one, a professional promotion or dismissal, a championship victory, a life-changing health incident, an educational credential, and things like that. Think about some chapter ending in your own life. What did God teach you in the previous chapter? How did he prepare you for the new era that was following that? There may be a person in your life who would be encouraged by your experience. Ask God to bring to your mind a person who may need to hear your story. Kind of sounds like a testimony, doesn't it? Pray that an opportunity for that may be open for that soon. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do today as we end, when we end, to pray with someone about that new era and who that person may be to share some of your experiences with. It's likely that someone you know is in the middle of a difficult chapter transition right now. Pray that they will have the strength and courage to face what is happening and what is yet to come. I like this definition of discouragement. Discouragement is when you run out of courage before the battle is over. At least that gives you credit for starting the battle. Could be you were discouraged before you even got in the battle, but I like this one better. You run out of courage before the battle is over. So position yourself to be a steady encourager in the lives around you. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as we just read that in Joshua, the Lord is telling us the same thing today. So who is that person that God has put on your mind this morning? I'm going to have to move to read that. I'm ending with Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe it to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So they meditated on the word. We have the New Testament. We have even more than they had, because they had to live by the law. We get to live by the promises of God. So know your word. Take up your sword. Remember what is ever taking place in your life right now. God is with you. We all know this. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that the nice thing about the presence of God? Just wherever you are, close your eyes and he's there. You don't even have to close them, but I kind of like to close my eyes. So this morning, as I get ready to close, and ask you to pray with someone about putting someone on your heart to encourage this week. We all have people, and it may be someone random. It may be someone you meet in the grocery store. I don't know. Could be a family member that you haven't spoken with for a while. So ask the Lord to put someone on your heart today so that you can be his hands extended this week. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you that you have given us this word, this illustration of Joshua. We're just beginning to touch on it, Lord, today. I thank you for your written word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that no matter where we go, we are in your presence, because you live inside each one of us. Because as we are saved, you put your Spirit in us. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We ask you to bless this day wherever we go or whatever we do. And help us to be faithful this week, to search for that person you want us to minister to. And we give you praise and glory and honor for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.